Do keep that passage open with you. We're just going to take a few moments to have a look at it together this morning. I should introduce myself, shouldn't I? My name's Alwyn. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's really good to see you and to see some visitors with us again this morning, and again, encourage you to come out tonight to our carol service. Well, I know that some of you have traveled to be with us. Also, there'll be many, many people traveling, won't there, over Christmas. Christmas is a bit of a nightmare for travel sometimes. In previous Christmases, I've had to travel down with the family to Truro because we've gone down to see my son. A three-hour journey can turn into an awful lot longer, especially when there's snow on the ground and the hills and everything there. It's a long, long way to go. So thank you for those who travel maybe a long distance to be with us. It's also really good to see some of our students back, and so it's lovely to see you back with us, and look forward to getting to know a bit more about what you've done during this time. But of course, to travel, we travel for a reason, don't we? You don't travel somewhere and think, why have I got here? I hope not anyway, unless of course it's to Slough, where you kind of go, well, why would I come here anyway, or something like that. You don't travel without some kind of purpose, unless you're a bit like me, and you go to a shop, and you go in the shop, and you think, what was it I came here to buy? Does anybody else do that? Please say yes. Otherwise, I'm going absolutely mad. So we travel with a purpose, don't we? And of course, we don't set out to see where we're going to finish. Now, I do know a couple who did this once. They came to my previous church, and when I was got to meet them, I said to them, as I usually say if people arrive in the area, why are you here? Why did you come here? Because we're in the middle of nowhere. And they said, well, we didn't know where to go next, and we knew we had to move, and so we got a map out, and we got a pin, and we put a pin in the map, and this is where the pin landed. Now, there are various ways of getting God's guidance, but I'm not quite sure that is necessarily the best, but they were a really blessing to the church. But you don't normally kind of go, well, why am I here? You plan where you're going to go. Now, what we're going to think of in the Christmas talks, as we do, is about journeys. And of course, there was one journey, which was the very greatest journey. And so we'll probably see it coming up in just a minute. Yeah, you can go on to the next one, Alice. The very greatest journey. We're going to think about the greatest journey. And of course, the whole point was in the Bible, that journey had a purpose. What was the purpose of Jesus coming? Well, that journey had a purpose. Well, I want you to have a look at this passage we looked at today because it tells us about their purpose. Now, of course, the Christmas journey, it's very important to think about what journey we're talking about. Because there were lots of journeys over Christmas, wasn't there? There was, who are the kind of people who came to see Jesus? Can you remember who came to see Jesus? Three wise men came to see Jesus. They made quite a long journey. That was quite an exceptional journey today. Who else came to see Jesus? The shepherds, that's right. They came to see Jesus. They came from the hillsides above, and they came to see Jesus as well. And there was another journey which happened even before all that, because Mary and Joseph journeyed from, where did they journey from? Does anybody know down to where? Go on, where did they journey from? Nazareth, that's right. Where did they go to? Bethlehem, that's brilliant. They went to Bethlehem. So there was that journey. So there were quite a lot of journeys coming, but you know, the most incredible journey of all was not any of those journeys. It was the journey of Jesus to earth, because Jesus was God's own son. And he came to earth. This is quite incredible, because he came from heaven to earth. More than that, he came from outside our time to inside our time as a little baby. That's an incredible journey. Did you know, those of you who are looking forward to the Doctor Who Christmas special, there is no such thing as a time traveler. I'm sorry to break it to you, but there is only one time traveler there has ever been or ever will be, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ, who broke into our time and our place from outside of time. He is God. He made the greatest journey of all. But why did he make the journey? You don't do it without a purpose. Why did he make the journey? Well, three words I've got this morning from this passage, and I want you to have a look at the passage with me as we go through. And the first word, let's have a look at that. Actually, let's go back to verse 6. It says, you see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless. The first word I want to look at is that word powerless, okay? Now, who feels powerless this morning? All the people who were doing the Christmas market yesterday are going to put their hands up now because we feel it. But you probably don't feel powerless. You probably feel kind of really, I can do anything, I hope. Anybody feel like that? I can do it. No, okay. None of you had your ready break this morning. This is not good. You should be ready for the world today. But we don't feel powerless, do we? But the reality is the Bible tells us that there is something which we are powerless about. And we're going to find out what it is in just a moment. But it's really dangerous sometimes to be powerless. Now, this week, something terrible happened in New Zealand. Does anybody know the news? What happened in New Zealand? What happened in New Zealand?
A volcano erupted.
I think we've got a picture of it. Have we somewhere there? Have we got a picture of it? There's the volcano erupting. Now, the scary thing is there were people on that island as the volcano erupted. I think we've got a picture. It's a smaller picture of some people. You can just about make them out towards the bottom of that picture. And they're all waiting on the wharf, on the landing place for the boat, for desperate that some boats would come back. You see, boats have picked up some of the tourists and take them away. But there were no boats there to pick them up, and they were desperate that the boats would come and pick them up, that they would be saved. Now, they knew that they needed to be saved, but they were powerless to be saved. They couldn't jump in the water because the sharks in the water. But also, when a volcano explodes, all that stuff that comes out of a volcano goes into the water and makes the water very acidic. It burns your skin, so you can't just jump in the water. So they needed to have somebody to come to them and to pick them up again. And amazingly, some of those boats turned around and they picked up these people in spite of all the hot ash that was falling down on them and rescued some of those people. Sadly, there were some of those people who weren't rescued. But all they could do is stand there and cry out for the ships to come back. They felt powerless. Now, the Bible tells us that we are powerless. We're going to think what it's about, what we're powerless about in a minute. So I need my second word before we get there. So let's have a look at this verse again. Say we read before, it says, "Now at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person." What that means is if there was a good person there, so say you were in the boat and you saw those people crying out on that landing wharf for you to come back, and you saw them and you thought, yeah, they've been really nice to me. Of course I'll go back and I'll rescue them because they've been really nice to me. That's what it means. So very rarely will someone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But it says, God demonstrates his love for us in this while we were still sinners. And I want to stop there because it's my second word. So first of all, we're powerless. Why are we powerless? Well, my second word is sinners, because we've done things wrong inside. In fact, actually, it's more than that. The word sin in the Bible doesn't just talk about things we have done wrong. It actually means that we have rebelled against God. We have turned our hearts away from God. We don't want to do what God wants. So, for example, the Bible tells us to honor your father and mother. Now, I could ask a question, how many young people here honor, but I'm not going to do that. But you see, sometimes we think maybe, oh, my mum is really silly for asking me to tidy my room yet again. No, don't want to do that. And sometimes we don't want to listen to them. And the Bible tells us actually it's good to listen to them, not because they're always right, but because we're supposed to learn from them. We're supposed to learn what's right. And when we get a bit older, we'll also learn some of those things which they've done wrong, and we're supposed to learn from that as well. That's part of what God wants us to do. God says it's good. But you see, in our hearts, we don't do that, do we? We quite often go, oh, Mom. And then she goes, tidy your room. We go, no. We go, tidy my room. No, I'm not going to do it. And there's lots of other things we do, don't we, as well? Now, what the Bible tells us is actually our hearts are wrong against God. It's not just that we don't want to do what our mum says, but we don't want to do what God says is for our very, very best. We do wrong things. Now, it's right in our nature. It's right now. We can't help it. So if I said to you, okay, you've got to spend the rest of the day doing everything absolutely right that God has said, do you think you could do it? Ooh, okay, you might just be able to, but if I said the week, could you do it? Definitely not. Someone would make you angry, wouldn't they? And you go, and you get really angry in a temper with them, and we know that's not what we're supposed to do, or we don't love the other people as we ought to do. You know, it's deep inside our nature. Now, I've got a little picture coming up. This is my grandson, I've got to tell you. This is my little grandson. We gave him... has anybody had a little car like this before? They are brilliant, aren't they? Okay, has anybody been in the mums and toddlers group with a car like that? I'm too old for that kind of thing, you understand, but it didn't happen. But they're great cars. I have got a good friend, and he told me about his little two-year-old. And he said it was the first time he'd come to mums and tods with his little two-year-old, and his two-year-old had never seen a car like that before, and decided he was going to have a go in the car. The problem was there was somebody else having a go in the car, another little one. And so, to his horror, his little one went up to the car, threw open the door, grabbed the boy inside the car, threw him out the car, got in the car and drove it off. Carjacking at 2 years old. Why do we do that? It's because there's something wrong deep inside our hearts. We are rebels. We do not want to do what God wants us to do. We want to do what's the very best for us, we think. But God says it's not the very best for us, that he has got the very best for us. And so God wants to be king of our life, but instead of being king of our life, we chuck him out of our life. That's the real problem. And whatever age we are, we try and get rid of God because we want to do what we think is right. And the Bible calls us sinners. That's what a sinner is. A sinner is somebody who commits treason against God, says, I do not want you to be Lord of my life. I do not want you to be king over you. I do not want what you want from my life. I want to do things for myself because we think we're better at it. But in reality, we are not. So, we are powerless. Why are we powerless? Because we're sinners, because we have turned our back on God, because we don't do what God wants for us to do, because we commit treason against God. We don't want him to be king of our lives. And we can't save ourselves. It doesn't matter how good we try to be. It's in our nature. There's nothing we can do about it. This brings me to my very last word. Let's go back to our verse again. It says, you see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, so at just the right time, when we needed rescuing, when we're desperate, actually, we're not desperate because we don't realize it, but eventually when God speaks to our hearts and we realize that we're done wrong against God, we're desperate that something will happen. At just the right time, while we're still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. What does that mean? It says in verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What does it mean? Well, we can't do anything about all that wrong inside our hearts. We're powerless. So what did God do? God came to save. It's just like those boats that went back to save those people on the wharf. God sent his own son, Jesus, into the earth. What was the greatest journey all about? It was not just Jesus coming as a baby. It's not just him living a life on the earth. It's not just him dying. It's so much more than that. He lived the perfect life we can't live. So he could die in the place of me for all of my treason so that I can come to know him as Savior. And he did it because he loves us so much. Now, there's a true story I'm going to tell. The next slide's got a picture on it. And it's a true story, and it's about a train. And this is not the location, but it's the same idea. So that bridge opens up to let boats go through. And this particular location is rather like that. The railway approached it, but approached it on a curve, but there were hills around either side, so you couldn't see the bridge, whether the bridge was down for the trains to go across or whether it had been lifted. And this day, there was a father and his daughter, and they were walking out around the area, and they saw that the bridge was up, and yet the signal was green. That shouldn't be the case. You shouldn't be able to go on and just drive over a bridge which is open, which you can train will fall off the end of. So the signal should have been red. The father realized it, and so he said to his daughter, look, stay here, and he ran down the track and ran round the corner, and he started waving on the track. All he could do was stand on the track and wave as he walked down the track, hoping that the train would see him. Desperate, the train would stop. Well, the train came, and the train came round as fast as it normally did, round the corner, and it saw him, and the train put its brakes on. But the trouble is, the train is not like your car, or it's more like your roller skates. If you're on roller skates, it's a bit difficult to stop, isn't it, if you're going really fast. You can't stop a train very fast. He jammed the brakes on, and the man was standing there waving at the train, didn't know that the brakes had been put on, and the train went straight into him and killed him flat. But you know what happened? The train kept on going as the brakes were on, and it stopped just as it came to the bridge, and everyone on that train was saved. The Lord Jesus Christ sees that we have turned our backs on him, that we are sinners, and that there is punishment to come. And he goes into your lives, and he's waving at you, saying, I've come to save you. I've come to save you. I've given my life up for you. Won't you just stop what you're doing and turn to me? You know what? That man who died for all those people on the train, what do you think the people would have thought? Well, of course, they would have said, thank you. And there's actually a plaque on that bridge remembering that man who died for him. And that's what God, Jesus wants us to do. Say thank you for dying for me. To say, forgive me for all the wrong I've done. I want to come, and I do want to follow you the rest of my life. And I want you to be Lord over me, to rule me as king in my life. You know, if you do that this morning, you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the Bible says he forgives you from all your sin. So instead of being called sinners, we are called loved by God. And we know him working in our lives and ruling in our lives from this day onwards. Have you come to know Jesus as your Savior? You know, I came to know Jesus as my Savior when I was only 10 years old. So who's 10 here? Is anybody 10 here? No one's 10. No one's 10. If you're 9, that'll do. If you're 11, that'll do. If you're 40, that'll do. If you're 80, it will do. I had a lady in my previous church came to know the Lord, 83 years old, baptized 85 years old, went to be with the Lord when she was 87 years old. It was amazing. If you're 83 years old or more this morning, and you have not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe this morning is that time. So why did Jesus come? The greatest journey, why did Jesus come? Because we're powerless, we can't do anything about our sin, because we're sinners. But he loves us so much. And that's why he came. And this Christmas time, we'd love everybody to know that the Lord Jesus Christ came because he loved you so much. Now, I'm just going to pray as we finish. And I say, after we finish, we've got coffee in the schoolroom there. So please don't go that way. Go that way. We'll try and see how many we can break the record for squeezing as many people as possible into the schoolroom, shall we, this morning. Can I remind you tonight, we've got our carol service 6:30. Do come early. Do bring people with you. It'd be lovely to see you there. And again, it'll be a shorter service, but a wonderful one as well. And you'll be amazed by how this is not just decorated, but lit up tonight in here as well. But what I want to do is to give us a chance to respond to God's word. So let's just bow our heads. And maybe this morning in your hearts, as your head is bowed, you've realized that you're like the people on that volcano. You've sinned against God, and there's doom that's coming there. Jesus is actually going to come, and he is going to judge us one day for all the wrong things we've done, and we're in terrible danger. We're sinners, and we're powerless, but God loves you, and you want to come to know him as your Savior. I'm going to pray a prayer. You can pray in your hearts along with me if you want to. If you want to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, let's just bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that even though in my heart and my life I have turned away from you, that I am a sinner, that you love me, that you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for me, and you want to make me into the person that you always wanted me to be, and you want to give me eternal life. Lord God, I thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Forgive me for all the wrong that I've done. I want to follow you the rest of my life. And take me as your child right now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And to keep your heads bowed, if you prayed that with me, and you know in your heart this is what you desire because you know that God's moving you by His Spirit, you can know this day the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You will know this day the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I just want to pray for the rest of us who are here. Lord God, I want to thank You that so many in this place have already come to know You as Savior. And Father, forgive us that we so easily lose the wonder of that greatest journey, the journey given and prompted by Your love for us. Oh, Father, amaze us again, because we were powerless, and we are sinners, and yet You set Your love upon us and called us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to thank You for such amazing love today. In Jesus' name, amen.